This was the first book in a series, and they're not saying, my name is Mythor, and I am a fairy. That means I do blah, blah, blah.
The narrator is human, so...
My name is Sarah, and I met Mythor, who is a fairy.
Hello.
Welcome back to another... episode of the podcast we call
Wonder Our Roof. But we say that at the end.
Right. Wonder what roof? This roof. Our roof. Hi, my name is Grace or Semler, depending on how you know me.
And I'm Lizzie or Elizabeth, depending on how you know me.
And hopefully no one knows us right now. I don't know myself. We're in the middle of a sleep regression from Francis.
I honestly feel like the last couple days have been the hardest of parenting, kind of. I don't know. I say
it's
that
it's hard to say parenting because it's just sleep. It's not like she's hard to like.
Yeah,
she's so hard to care for.
It's no, like, I would say sleep. It's the worst sleep I think we've had since bringing her home from the NICU, because the NICU was the worst sleep of my life, for sure. But the last couple of nights have rivaled it, because like two nights ago, I was genuinely up like every 45 minutes, mm-hmm. which when you can't even get a sleep cycle in, you basically feel like you haven't slept the whole night.
This is true. Now, you may be thinking, oh no, like Francis is just like crying through the night. Not exactly. There is some crying. There's sometimes crying.
A little bit.
But there is a lot of just yelling, and just chirping.
Like squealing with happiness at 4 a.m.
Very high-pitched noises.
Yeah.
And the good news is that Francis is doing great. Like, the joke of the house is that, like, Lizzie and I will have not really slept, and then Francis will wake up, like, big and smiley and just being like, hey, ladies, are we all feeling
Everyone's
as awesome?
Feeling refreshed, yeah. Right?
I'm sure we're all feeling so rejuvenated from that lovely night's sleep. I know that I was just yelling in my dreams, which are sleep talking, but it's just sleep yelling. But I really think that it has brought us closer. I feel like we've really been like locked in with each other the past few days.
So we're really just leaning in. Once we realized like, we're in a sleep regression.
Yeah.
There was some lead up to it where like her sleep started getting a little bit worse and worse. Mm-hmm. But she generally had, I mean, she was an amazing sleeper early on. Like, mm-hmm. she started sleeping through the night at like 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I know I should be grateful that I had that, but I am very sad that it is gone.
We got kind of spoiled early on, where like we really were able to sleep. And so I was sort of wondering, what are people talking about? Like, babies are up through the night, you're up through the night with babies. The 4 month sleep regression has come.
She's not
to
even
roost.
4 months
I'm
yet.
I'm 4 months yet, but she's a big baby.
Yeah.
She's hitting, I mean, I know a lot of parents may say this, but truly she has been hitting some milestones a little bit ahead of her age group.
She tends to be a little advanced, I will say.
Okay. But I just want to caveat that as like, we're not saying like, a child is just a little bit
gifted. It's just a matter of fact. Like, our pediatrician.
She just is a little bit.
Yeah. Our pediatrician has always been like, oh, she's advanced. Like, she just is.
Yeah. She's just a little bit ahead.
Yeah.
She's liking to roll and yell. I think that she's just really... she's really eager to participate in the world. And sometimes, like just today when she was on her monkey mat and we wanted to keep her awake for about an hour longer, I was just like playing some stuff and working on her grip and her hand-eye coordination and stuff. I mean, working. It's like games, but it's just like with toys for her to grab and whatever. And she would, you know, miss grabbing a toy just by a slight margin. And I could tell she'd be a little frustrated. And I want to be like, baby, you're brand new.
I know.
Grabbing stuff is a whole thing. You gotta, you know, hand-eye coordination is very tricky to master. So
yeah,
you're doing great. But that's how the headspace that we come to you.
We are very sleep deprived at the moment. Uh-huh. And despite this intro, I feel like we couldn't really start this episode without talking about what's been really going on under our roof.
We are cracked out.
But despite this intro, we are actually not really going to talk about baby for this episode, mm-hmm. although it is baby related in a sort of tangential way, mm-hmm. which is, I'm going to give a little book report.
Yeah.
When I asked for solo podcast suggestions, a bunch of people actually requested this, which I was kind of surprised by. I'm not going to give any spoilers. I'm not going to spend too much time on any one book. So if you haven't read any of these, I hope it'll still be interesting and give mm-hmm. you some ideas for maybe books to read. Grace is going to interview me kind of about like what I've been reading. I have shared on my Instagram stories, but I got a Kindle about less than a week after Francis was born, because I realized that I'm just going to be sitting on the couch or in bed for hours a day feeding her. And so I didn't want to just watch TikToks all that time, although I still do that plenty, don't worry. But, you know, it's a long time to just like look at your phone. So I decided to get a Kindle and I love it. And I at first was actually reading a lot more books. So like I said earlier, she's not yet 4 months, and so far I've read 13 books while nursing her, which I'm kind of proud of. I was actually reading faster and more at the beginning because she was nursing longer. If you've ever been around a baby who's nursing, you might know they get a lot faster at it. So they start out when they're brand new newborns. They nurse for like so long, like for 40 minutes or something at a time occasionally, or even longer. And now like she can get a full feed in like 5 to 10 minutes sometimes. Sometimes she wants to nurse longer, but they just, you know, their mouths get bigger and they get stronger and they can just drink faster. So I have less time to read now because when she's done, she wants to hang out. And at night I'm usually just trying to sleep, so I'm not really reading as much. But yeah, I've read 13 books, although that's kind of a little lie because one of them I did not finish because I didn't like it, and I will talk about that. But I've completed 12 books and I've read part of a 13th.
So let's jump in. I'm the Zane Lowe of this podcast.
All right, now I'm going to consult my notes on this.
So you made an intentional choice to read instead of just scroll on your phone. And I'm sure that it was mindful in more than just that area. So how did you decide what genre and style of books you wanted to read so that you'd be in a good headspace since we are in, I would say, treacherous territory with lack of sleep, with a lot of stress, with a child? Like you probably thought about the types of books you wanted to read.
Yes. Love this as a first question because it also allows me to give a couple of caveats because I am going to be giving star ratings out of 5.
Oh my gosh. This is
I decided
spicy
on all my ratings earlier today, but I want to give some caveats, which fits perfectly into the question you just asked. So I really wanted books that are super fast paced and like almost what I would call like a potato chip book. Like you just want to read another chapter. Like, you know, they're light, they're crispy, they're crunchy, they're fun and delicious, whatever. I'm not explaining this well, but hopefully, dear listener, you know what I mean. Like not necessarily the most literary of books, meaning like literary fiction is sort of a genre, like kind of like highbrow, like fancy, wins book awards, that type of fiction. Sometimes that type of fiction is like punchy and fast paced and like a addictive read, but often it's not, and that's not a bad thing, but it's just like meatier, you know, something to chew on more, and the prose is more sort of, you have to unpack it a bit. I wasn't really looking for that because I'm often reading at 2 a.m. feeding her, especially when she was a newborn. And now again, I am reading in the middle of the night sometimes, or, you know, while I'm tired. I'm kind of always tired. So yeah, something that I could pick up and is just like a fast read. And that means that it doesn't have to be winning awards. It can just be fun.
Are you finding out about these books mostly word of mouth? Yes. Or from other podcasts?
Almost entirely word of mouth. And specifically, I put a question box on my Instagram story some time ago that asked for recommendations with the description of like fast paced, you know, thriller, romance. The genre isn't that important, but just like fluffy, light, easy reads that are fun and like gripping, basically, that can like keep you engaged when you're super tired. So it can't be like long descriptions of things. You know what I mean? So for my stars that I'm going to give, it really is for me and how much I enjoyed them during this very specific time in my life and what I'm looking for in a book. It is not how I think they should be rated from like a critic of books. It's how they fit what I'm looking for. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm such a glutton, or I don't know if glutton is the right word, fiend for bad reviews. So I'm kind of curious to open with a review that you would say is less than 5 stars significantly.
Okay, well, I'll start with one that people might be...
What does that say about me? I always, whenever Anthony Fantano posts a music review that's like, this was a really bad album, even if I haven't listened to it, I'm like, I gotta hear what he has to say.
Well, we've talked on this podcast before about how we do enjoy a bit of snark every now and then.
I do. So give it to me. What would you like to snark on that you've read of the 13?
Okay, so let me give one more caveat. For me, 3 stars and up is good. Like, I liked it.
Okay.
And only 2 or below is bad. And I actually didn't rate anything 1 star.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not even the one that was, like, upsetting to you?
No, because, well, we'll get to that, but I rated that one, too, because it was upsetting, and I didn't also think it was, like, that great of a book. But let me start with A Court of Thorns and Roses, because I feel like that is one of the more talked about books of the last, like, 5 to 10 years. I guess it's been out for, like, 8 or 9 years now, but especially recently, I feel like everyone's reading it. I mean, even a few years ago, I remember people talking about it.
Well, what's it about?
Okay, so I've heard it by many different people referred to as the sexy fairy book.
Okay.
And it is fantasy. It involves fairies, which, as I'll get to, I needed more. Like, what is that?
What is a fairy?
Yeah. But
no, I'm like, genuinely, what is a fairy?
Yeah. And is it fairy?
No, what is a fairy?
Or is, oh, what? Well, I don't know. It's like fantasy people that are like sort of immortal, but they also can easily be killed.
Are they small? Are they like the size of a thumb?
No, they're normal human size. Fairies are sort of have, like, some of them can like shape shift into animals. They're sort of just like glimmering, semi immortal humans.
Okay.
And some of them can turn into animals, and they have powers. I'm going to
look up what the definition of fairy is.
Okay. I wanted to talk about A Court of Thorns and Roses because for years I had kind of been curious because I just heard so many people raving about it. But I didn't have a lot of time to read fiction like in my pre-mom life. So I was like, okay, listen, I'm years late to the trend, but I'm going to read this book. And I would actually give it 3 stars for me.
Okay.
I'm sorry to anyone that loved it. I can see why, and I showed Grace.
They probably knew what fairies were.
Yeah.
You don't know a snarfling?
Yeah.
And you read a whole book about different snarflings, and you're like, what are they?
Yeah, exactly.
I typed in fairy, F-A-E-R-I-E.
Yeah.
Also, someone who's more familiar with fantasy is likely punching the air right now, and I do apologize to that person. But I typed that in, and it said that the definition of fairy is the world of fairy, or a fairy, spelled like how you would think.
Yeah.
And then I looked up fairy, F-A-I-R-Y,
yeah.
And it says a fairy is a type of mythical being or legendary creature generally described as anthropomorphic, found in the folklore of multiple European cultures, a form of spirit, often metaphysical, supernatural, or prenatural qualities.
Preternatural.
Good. That's good.
We're
good
very
for
tired.
Me. I have no idea what I'm reading.
Earlier, Grace was reading fae. Something that said potato and said photo.
Types of fae. Leprechauns are a type of fae.
Oh.
So are they just like cryptids? Are they just like,
I don't know.
Like fantasy mystery characters? Elves, changelings, selkie. These are all types of fae. Some of the most common classes include fairies, elves, goblins, and pixies. Fairies, elves, goblins, and pixies, it just seems like a category of connections by New York Times, but I don't know what each of them are. What's the difference between a pixie and an elf?
No clue. And I don't feel like the book told me enough. I think the biggest issue...
How did they not? That would be a huge thing. This was the first book in a series, and they're not saying, my name is Mythor, and I am a fairy. That means I do blah, blah,
well,
blah.
Well, the narrator
blah.
Is human, so...
My name is Sarah, and I met Mythor, who is a fairy, and that means that they can do the following things.
So it assumes, the book assumes a level of knowledge about the fantasy world that I do not have, because I don't think I've read a fantasy book since I was a kid. And, like, I guess books like Harry Potter and stuff, like, obviously I read that, you know, I'm a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no better than anyone else. but I don't even know if that counts as fantasy. I guess it does. But I haven't read...
Certainly not nonfiction.
Yeah. I haven't read fantasy since, like, I was in middle school or high school, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's not for me is what I am realizing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hate the book at all, though. I was very entertained by it. For me, again, 3 stars means I liked it. And I was reading it avidly last week. I showed Grace my screen time was 39 minutes a day on average last week when I was reading it, which I was like, damn.
Well, on her phone.
Yeah.
Because you were on the Kindle so
yeah,
much.
My screen time only counts on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, the phone obviously only tracks time on the phone. I don't count Kindle as screen time because it's not blue light and it is, you know, I'm reading. But anyway, I was spent a lot of time reading it. I really enjoyed it. I read it in like less than a week. And I did feel like there was too much setting up for the future of the series. I understand it's several books. I don't think I'm going to be reading the rest of it.
Oh, you're tuning out.
Yeah. I mean, part of it too. So I use Libby, which I love. You can get free ebooks from your library. And I had to wait like 12 weeks for A Court of Thorns and Roses. And I mean, that's
A Court of
thorns. A court of thorns and roses.
Like a basketball court? Like
a court, like courting, like the court of the royal court.
That's spelled the same though as court.
Yeah.
Right.
But it doesn't.
But it's not like a court, like a sports court, like a tennis court.
So anyway, I imagine there's a very long wait list for the other books, which is awesome. Like, we love people being interested in books and being, you know,
we are pro reading. Famously, this podcast is pro reading.
Yeah. So I don't think I want to wait like 12 weeks for the next book. I didn't like it enough, but it was interesting.
Was it sexy?
No, that's the thing. I felt like it was so overhyped. The sex scenes of this book, to me, did not do it for me at all. And I mean, they're very straight, so.
See, that's what I was going to push back on. I think inherently, anything involving a fairy feels queer.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like a fairy, you're going to tell me that like this fairy had sex and there wasn't something queer about it?
I agree. By definition, it feels like they must be. To me, the descriptions, like there were, it wasn't actually as like graphic as I thought it was going to be.
Boy fairy and a girl fairy.
It was very much like, boy and girl, you know.
Wait, is one of them a human?
Yeah.
And they have sex with each other?
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay in the fairy world?
Mm-hmm.
What are fairies?
Yeah. I was also, it felt very Beauty and the Beast coded.
Okay.
I think that I'm not the first to make that realization.
Captured?
Well, I don't want to give anything away, but yeah, it has a lot. It's similar to Beauty and the Beast. So I was almost picturing like the Beast, but then he's supposed to be really handsome too. Like not a beast. I don't know. But he can like shapeshift. So
if he can shapeshift, then what's his resting form? Is it handsome?
Yeah, it's handsome.
Because then wouldn't you just all? Because if it wasn't handsome, then you would just choose to constantly shapeshift.
Well, he can shapeshift into like a lion/wolf thing.
Which is a handsome animal.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are sexy animals.
I think at the end of the day, I did enjoy it, but it was one of those things that's just been hyped up so much that it ended up having a negative influence on my perception because I was like, okay, this is, I was ready to be blown away and I wanted to be like immersed in the story, but I just didn't like, I love it. But
tell me about a book that you did love.
Okay. So, and I'm going to start to make these shorter because I spent a long time on that, but just because I thought more people might be interested since it's a very popular book. I read two books by Taylor Jenkins Reid. I would give them both 5 stars. I'd give them both 10 stars. One was The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, which was probably my most recommended book when I asked for suggestions. It is very much queer content, beautiful queer love story, and
I gotta read this book.
You have to read it. It's so good. It's
I have no idea what it's about except Evelyn McHugo.
Evelyn Hugo.
Oh.
Not McHugo. We have a friend.
We have a friend whose
last name is McHugo.
It'd be better if her last name was McHugo.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's very old Hollywood. Love descriptions of LA and famous people. Very, very fun. Well-written, quick read. That was the first book I read on my Kindle. And I actually bought that one because I didn't know about Libby yet, but well worth the $15. And so, so good. But I actually liked her other... She also wrote Daisy Jones and the Six. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah, I haven't read that book, but it's also obviously a show.
We didn't finish the show.
Yeah, I didn't love the show, which is why I haven't read the book. But her other book, Malibu Rising, love. That is my favorite book I've read since starting my reading journey.
Mm.
It's also very like old Hollywood, takes place in Malibu, as the title suggests. You will love it because you love Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
Malibu's been a really special place to both of us for like 10 years. And it's takes place in like 1970s Malibu, kind of when it was like more of a sleepy little beach town.
I wonder if the real inn was open then.
So, okay, funny you say that. There is a restaurant that I think is like based on the real inn that is like a centerpiece of the book. So it's a family drama involving 4 siblings. And I love books and stories about siblings. That's like a favorite.
You do. That is something. Yeah. And stories with a sense of place.
Yes. So Malibu Rising gets like 10 stars from me. Love that one. Okay. Another 5-star is The Spy Coast. It was actually a free download on Kindle. So I was like, yeah, I'll give it a chance. Loved it. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. Good sense of place. The premise is basically there's this one town in Maine that has a disproportionate number of retired ex-spies. And apparently that is true. And that's what gave the author the idea for the book. They have like these retirees who are probably like in their 60s. They meet up for like martini night and they solve mysteries because they still want to do that in their spare time. And then they get kind of like sucked into one.
Interesting.
It's such a fun book. Yeah, I really liked that one.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Which of the books that you've read had the best and most unexpected twist? The one that you were truly gagged for? Because that is my favorite thing in a book. If a book has a good twist, or if a book has not a good twist, the whole thing is ruined for me. Even if it's just a mild twist, my standard for twist is like, I need to be a pretzel. Like, I want my mind to be blown.
Okay, so funny you ask that. I want the author to be
so much smarter than me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You don't want to guess the twist. So I'm going to talk about two books. One where I would have never seen the twist coming, and one where I saw the twist coming from the beginning.
Oh, no.
Okay, so Behind Her Eyes was... I give it 3 stars because the twist was like too out there for me. However, I would have never seen it coming.
Too out there, like not plausible? Because that for me counts as a bad twist.
So I can't really explain without giving anything away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it wasn't plausible. It's just like I didn't think that we could go there.
Oh.
Does that make any sense?
A little bit.
Like
not it's taboo or like faux pas type thing?
Not even like taboo, just like... Whoa, like this is a different kind of book than what I thought it was when I started it.
Yeah, I read a book like that. You've heard me talk about this before, called The Dead Girl in 6A or something. And it was a plain read and it was really, really fun for like the first half or maybe 3/4. And then when it came time to resolve the mystery, it was so sort of like the example that you use sometimes when we talk about this is like aliens came in and abducted. Like, sure, it's possible, but it's unlikely.
Well, that's kind of how Behind Her Eyes is. That
aliens are now in this world? Like, okay.
I don't think this is a spoiler, but I think maybe a future reader of this book might like to know that Behind Her Eyes starts as like a good old-fashioned mystery, and it leads into somewhere that I would call like supernatural.
Mm.
Kind of like The Outsider. Do you remember that?
Yeah, series? I do remember that. God, that was a really
where it starts as like a murder mystery. It was a
really cool series.
And then it becomes like, oh, this is actually like paranormal, like, what's the word, supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that's what kind of book it was, so I was kind of like, whoa. But I thought it was cool. It was just a little too weird for me, so I give it 3 stars. But again, 3 stars means I liked it.
If I would just say also, if anyone is curious about The Dead Girl in 6A, not that this is about the books that I read, but... it's not aliens. I'm just using that as an example of like a crazy thing that kind of comes into play.
Okay, then the book that I saw the ending coming from a mile away and was probably the book that I liked the least that I finished was called Then She Was Gone. And I'm really sorry I haven't been saying all the author names, but you'll have to forgive me because I have no sleep in my brain. And I didn't write them down, but all the authors did a great job. Even the books I didn't like to get their book published, amazing job. Then She Was Gone, 2 stars for me. I'm not going to give it 1 star because it's not a bad book. But basically the premise is a woman, her daughter is missing, has been missing for 10 years. And she was 15 years old when she disappeared. And of course, like she's never been able to remotely move past this, especially because she doesn't actually know what happened to her daughter or if she could still be alive. So she... is, you know, mulling over this tragedy. 10 years later, her daughter was 15 at the time, and she meets this man who may have some, she kind of falls in love with him, but he may have some connection to what happened to her daughter. He did not kill her daughter, I'll just say that. But because I feel like that would be way too obvious, but I still felt like what happened was very obvious. Once you read, maybe you'll get it, but it just was like very, very predictable. And also, it was extremely disturbing and sad, and I would give a huge content warning for anyone with a baby. There's some really sad things involving babies in the book, and it was just a very disturbing read while taking care of my daughter to read this book about a missing daughter. Now, could I have known that from the beginning? Because that's the basic premise, yes. But I don't know, I thought maybe, like, it wouldn't be such a sad ending. Like, maybe it would be like a triumphant kind of story. It is not. I don't want to spoil anything, but very, very, very upsetting book. I cried. Not in like a way of like, oh, I laughed, I cried. Like, no, I literally cried because it was so sad. And you were just like, God, that's how it ends? Like, good Lord, that is so sad. So yeah, I didn't like that one, but I did finish it. And it was a really quick read. It was very gripping, but I was like hoping to be wrong basically about the thing that I was predicting. And I was right. And I was like, that is very sad.
So staying on this note, you said there was one book that you didn't even finish.
Yes. And I feel bad saying this, but this is my truth. I did not finish Hello Beautiful, which a lot of people recommended as like their favorite book of the year last year. I give it 2 stars, but I don't think I'm technically allowed to rate it because I didn't finish it. I got like maybe a third of the way in. It's way too slow for what I was looking for. It is a family drama, which is cool and normally would fit, but I just felt like every sentence was like trying to do something in an impressive way. It was trying to like be like a beautiful, like woven tapestry of a sentence. Does that make sense?
Totally.
But like I was having to use my brain way too much and I just didn't, there was no hook. It was like a really long Lana Del Rey song. Kiss me hard before you go. With no hook. Beautiful. But ultimately, you have to be in the right headspace for it.
Sure.
If you want something poppy to like wake you up in the morning, it's not that.
That's Carly Rae Jepsen.
That is Carly Rae Jepsen. Call me maybe. What I'm looking for in books is Carly Rae Jepsen.
Or Chapel Roan.
Yeah, Chapel Roan would be a great book. No, this is like a very long, like 7 minute long, beautiful, semi-spoken word Lana Del Rey song. Mm-hmm. Not for me at this time in my life. Mm-hmm. It was the only book out of the 13 that I have not finished. But I then did read spoilers about it, and it sounds really sad, so I'm glad I didn't finish it.
You've been staying away from sad things.
Yeah, I don't really want sad right now.
But you like page-turning mysteries. It doesn't make you sad.
Yeah. A good example of that is Something in the Water. The premise is that a couple goes on their honeymoon to Bora Bora, which, love that sense of place. I've always wanted to go there, so I like to read about it. And the premise is like they find a duffel bag. They're like out on a little adventure boating. If you've seen pictures of Bora Bora or been there, lucky you, you know that it's surrounded by water. It's an island. So they're out doing some boating and enjoying that. And they find a duffel bag floating in the water with something that changes the course of their life. And it's not a body. I will say that.
It's money.
I'm not going to say anything else. But anyway,
it's a Bible.
That was a fun mystery because
they find a Bible in the water and they turn their lives to Christ.
Something in the water. That was a fun mystery because it's not like sad, although some crazy things do happen.
They get baptized.
Yeah.
They are the something in the water.
So I give that one though only 3 stars just because I didn't really like the ending, but it was a really good premise and it was a gripping read. One I want to talk about is I reread The Westing Game, which I put on my story, and it seemed like a lot of people had also read it when they were like in middle school or so. Mm-hmm. It was a favorite read of mine when I was younger, and I hadn't read it in many, many, many years, like maybe 15, 20 years, mm-hmm. probably 20 years. And I reread it and it was so fun, nostalgic, super quick read. It is like a middle grades type book. It's like it's for young people. It's not even really YA. It's like younger than that. But it's not juvenile, if that makes sense. It's
not like, for babies.
It's not for babies. I'm reading a lot of baby books too.
We know baby books.
Yeah.
This stuff is not for babies.
It still took me like a couple of days to read it. It wasn't like a pamphlet. You know, mm-hmm. There's some meat on the bones there, but 5 stars for nostalgia, really fun. Yeah.
The Westing Game.
The Westing Game.
What is the queerest book on your list thus far of the
Definitely
13?
Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think I just have three left.
Well, what else is the queerest one of the three that you have left? Let's go with that one.
I have 4 left. I am sorry to say that literally none of them. I have not read a lot of queer books during this time.
Is it the internalized homophobia?
Yeah, for sure.
Come back again.
No, I've just been reading what people recommended, so I have everyone else to blame but myself.
It's other people's fault.
Yeah. I've literally only been reading recommendations, and so I just didn't get that many queer ones.
Well, if you'd like to recommend some queer books for Lizzie to add, you can always write to us at underourroof@gmail.com.
That's not the address.
Under Our Roof Podcast.
That's not it either.
Under Our Roof Pod.
Yeah.
@gmail.com or... You can just
DM me. That's going to be better, I think, at this point. Okay, should I just run through my remaining ones real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, so my remaining books that I haven't talked about are The Housemaid. A lot of people have read that. It was recommended to me. It is kind of predictable, but fun. I give it 3 stars. It's basically a premise of like somebody comes to live in, be a live-in housemaid, and the wife seems to be really like unpredictable. But is it her or is it her husband who has something sinister going on? I'll just say
probably the husband.
Yeah,
probably. Was I right? I'm not going to spoil it.
Verity by Colleen Hoover. It was my first and only Colleen Hoover read.
I've heard so much about her. She's got some hits on her hands, I think.
It was like a fun, quick read, but I did not really like the way it all turned out.
Her book covers really changed publishing.
Yeah.
Now all of them look like Colleen Hoover covers. I know that just from going to the airport a lot. I don't read as much as you.
Well, my understanding is that Verity is not one of her like most big novels, but a lot of people recommended it to me. And it was like a fun, gripping read. So it totally understood the assignment.
Yeah.
But I'd give it 3 stars.
Is it a mystery?
It is a mystery. I honestly don't even remember exactly the premise, but I think it's basically like this woman gets hired. So there's this woman named Verity who's like a prolific author, but she's in a coma or something. And so this woman gets hired to like finish the story, like ghostwrite for the rest of her series. And in the process, she kind of like uncovers this mystery about the author.
Hey, speaking of finishing the story, did anyone see Cody Rhodes win WrestleMania today? Anyway, go on. We
simply cannot get into that.
Go on.
And then I think this is the last one on my list. Oh, with Verity, I'll also give a big trigger warning about babies and kids. I am not in a headspace to read about like bad things happening. I'm not saying that there isn't, that it's like bad to have like something. Sometimes bad things happen to kids in stories, and like that is part of life, I guess.
Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah, there you go.
That is part of life. However, if you wander in the woods and you go into a witch's house, she will eat you up if the house is made out of candy. That's a true story. That happened. Isn't that the story, that there was a candy house?
Yeah, something like that.
She like tricked them, and then she was like, hey, go look in the oven. And then she like kicked them in and ate them.
I don't know if she did eat them, but maybe.
I think she did eat them, and then we sanitized. Like, Disney was like, yeah. But then they escaped. But I think the original, those kids did get eaten, and it was a lesson of, like, stranger danger.
Well, there are some kids who get eaten, so to speak, in Verity.
Oh, no.
So, big warning for that, because I'm not in a good headspace to read about that kind of thing right now. And so that's another reason why I give that one 3 stars for me. And then my final one is a really fun, solid 4-star book. Wait, there was another 4-star that I swear I missed. Oh, yeah, there is. So this is my second to last. Called Meant to Be by Emily Giffen. I do know that because I've read a bunch of her romance books. And
you're
I really,
a big fan.
Yeah, I like her books a lot. And it's just like a good, quick romance. It's based on JFK Jr. and Carolyn Bessette Kennedy. Is that JFK Jr.?
The one that died in a plane? Yeah.
Yeah. It's very strongly and openly based on their story and like maybe what might have happened had they not tragically died so young.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like historical fiction. Like the main character is Joe Kingsley instead of John Kennedy. And it's like literally the exact same as those two. And it was really fun.
Have you ever been to Dealey Plaza where JFK was assassinated?
No.
I have.
Is it in Dallas?
Yeah.
No, I've never been to Dallas.
I was doing a show in Dallas on the Reliant K tour. I made Haley and I drive through there to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really confusing how the bullet did that. It really doesn't make sense to go there.
Well, that's a podcast for another day.
That's a podcast for another day. But if you've been to Dealey Plaza and they're like, he shot from this building and it went all the way down there. I mean, I guess I don't really know how bullets work, but like, I just mean like it seems just pretty far.
Okay, last but not least, because this was definitely a favorite, 4 solid stars, Woman in Cabin 10. Very, like, this was exactly the type of book I was looking for. I'll say why I didn't give it 5 stars, but very fun, like, the type of book that you pick up at an airport newsstand right before your trip and you want a light and fluffy read to read on the beach. This is ideal for that. It takes place on a cruise ship that's sailing the Norwegian fjords, which love that sense of place. One of the reasons I gave it 4 stars is I wanted a lot more of that sense
more
of place.
More fjords.
More fjords. They didn't describe the fjords very much. But
too fast, too fjordious.
Basically, the main character is a travel writer, and she is invited to take the maiden voyage, I believe it was, of this super luxury Norwegian fjord cruise. And on the first night, she believes that she sees someone being thrown overboard.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. She alerts
she thinks she saw someone get thrown overboard.
Yeah.
Into the fjords.
I don't even think they've gotten to the fjords yet, because I think they set sail from somewhere else.
At the fjords.
Anyway, so she alerts the ship, and they tell her that everyone is accounted for.
What?
But she believes
she's... But she saw someone go into the fjord.
There you go. Such a fun, interesting premise. And I feel like it was kind of outlandish. Like, the way that they explained it all and, like, solved the mystery was a little bit like soap opera, Lifetime movie.
But does it feel earned, though? But, like, it's not like aliens did it?
Exactly. I feel like it worked for me because that's the kind of, like, light, fluffy mystery that I am looking for. But it did feel a bit outlandish, if that makes sense. And it was very fast-paced, which I enjoyed. The main character was kind of dumb and, like, not that likable. So that's the big reason why I give it 4 stars instead mm-hmm. of 5.
You know, I like premises like that. Like, yeah. It's like that Jodie Foster movie Flight Plan. I don't know how it ended, so that could be fun for you and I to rewatch, where she's, like, gets on the plane with her daughter, and then she, like, falls asleep or something, and she wakes up and her daughter's gone, and everyone on the plane's like, you didn't have a daughter.
I will absolutely not be watching that.
What do you mean?
That sounds... No, I can't...
Oh, especially, like, as we're about to travel with Francis.
Yeah.
No, but there's a resolution to it. It's just that, like, something sneaky happens. But, like you wonder, you're like, how did they... like, swap her passport so, like, there was never a daughter.
I can't do that right now.
But that literally everyone on the plane is, like, there. You got on the plane solo. So the viewer is, like, wait, was there a daughter? Like, why did they cast a young child actor?
What? Okay, no, that's what I'm saying. I can't do that because oftentimes I look at Francis and I'm, like, I can't believe you're real. So, and I also am very sleep deprived, so mm-hmm. I cannot start bending reality of, like, what if she's actually not real?
No, she's real.
So I can't do that one, but you enjoy.
I will enjoy. I'm not much of a reader. I do like Choose Your Own Adventure.
I really think you would like the Taylor Jenkins Reid books.
Yeah, I want to read that Evelyn McHugo gay book for sure.
Yeah, Evelyn McHugo.
Evelyn Hugo.
Yeah.
It should be McHugo. Evelyn McHugo sounds a lot better.
I always
better.
Say, yeah, it does. That's because we have a very dear friend whose last name is McHugo, who's also queer. So
right. So
meant
I,
to be.
That's what I'm thinking of. And I just, there's a twist with the McHugo book, right? Everyone says that there's, like, some twist. Like, I saw a TikTok of this girl being like, I'm filming her when she gets to page 28 or something.
It's definitely not on page 28. Okay. Pretty early.
But it was, like, someone watching a girl they didn't know, like, film her reaction of, like, mm-hmm. to the book. So I'm like, man, that must be have a good twist, though, does it?
Yes.
Because I want to read a book with a good twist.
Yeah, there's a good twist. It's like, interesting because it's a twist that, like, it's not a mystery. Mm-hmm. Like, the book isn't a mystery, so it's not a twist as... in, like, this is the big reveal, but it's just, like, something that comes up that, like, ties back into something else that you didn't think was that significant. And then you're like, oh my gosh.
Generally speaking, I like books that are where there's a murder and it's solved in a satisfying way. Nicholas Sparks books, because I don't know, they're kind of a little silly to me now, but they're also nostalgic and they're weird. I don't know why. They're kind of, like, weirdly addicting. It's like a bad snack at a gas station that I'll read one of those books. I absolutely will. And the other type of book I like, my preferred genre, is woman who was a big star, unfairly maligned, getting to share her autobiography.
That's exactly what Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo is.
But she's not
is.
Real.
Well, I know, but she feels real because it's really well written.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You're going to love that book. You have to read it. I'm going to get you the paper version because we only have one Kindle and I use it all the time. So
I fear my nature is that I just don't read as much
You're not a huge reader, but you'll like this book. Okay. I will leave it there. We're at 39, almost 40 minutes. It's been a good length.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. We are loopy. Wish us luck.
We do appreciate your patience and your encouragement. Thank you so much also for listening to my new song, Saints of Nevada, out now, wherever fine music is found. And we are going to try and get some sleep. I think we're going to try and wrap up for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the next time you hear from us, we will be a little bit more well-rested. Francis, if you're listening to this in the future, we love you so much. I can't wait for you to be a teenager who sleeps in until 1. You will not catch me complaining about that, baby. Yeah. If you need that extra sleep, I understand.
Okay. Thank you for listening.
And we'll see you next time on the podcast that we call
Under
Our
Roof. For my sweet old-fashioned babe.